The following is a meeting with devotees with His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami, recorded on July 28, 2002, in Wicklow, Ireland.
Today I want to talk about chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's two ways to chant, kirtan and japa. And kirtan is greater because so many people get together and other people can hear. Nevertheless, when we are initiated, we are given four instructions, and one is to chant 16 rounds of japa every day. So vow, we see that the japa is very, very important. I wanted to start by reading a page from the Japa Reform Notebook. I couldn't find a copy of my own in my library, and I borrowed one from Uddhavan Hare Krishna Dasi's house. I was looking at it and I was thinking, this is a well-worn book. Then I opened it up. It says, in the care of Madhu Mangal Das. And he has read it very carefully, and he's underlined different passages in magic marker, starting with the first one. Of all the regular principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. That's a very heavy statement. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about chanting, and then I have some illustrations from paintings I've done very recently about this topic. This is the Dharma for the age of Kali, chanting of Hare Krishna. And it was always effective in every age. But in this age, no other method is effective. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Because we're just incompetent to do deep philosophical study and to become yogis and Brahmins in the true sense. So Lord Chaitanya came, the great savior for the people of this age, to give us something very, very easy to do. So easy it just goes by with without our noticing it, that you just say a mantra of 16 syllables, 32 words, and you can get all the benefit of very, very difficult austerities performed in other ages. And the goal of spiritual practice is to gain detachment for material life, and to become liberated from returning to this material world, and beyond that, to develop love of God, love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this can be achieved by chanting His name, because He's put so much in His name. Krishna is absolute, so his when you say His name, that's Krishna. You can take this at least theoretically, because this is a Shastric injunction. And as you chant and understand more, His qualities are there. As you chant, even in the beginning, we can sometimes chant and think of how kind Krishna is, or think of different qualities of Krishna. He's so great. And then his form is there also. You can chant Hare Krishna mantra and have darshan of Krishna in his form. And all other manifestations of Krishna just from this one performance. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he came to spread the chanting of the holy name and to infuse it with love by his method of chanting. And those who follow him, they have that, the bona fide acharyas, they have that potency also. So we have been given the mantra in the siptic succession from Srila Prabhupada, great, great lover and reformer and preacher, spreader of the holy name. So that's what Prabhupada knew he had to do, to go around the world and never mind different formalities of time and place that he would not be able to find in other parts of the world. If he could just teach the chanting, and even that seemed very difficult, how will people take to this chanting of these Sanskrit names? But Prabhupada was convinced that he could engage people in this melodious chanting along with distribution of prasadam and singing and dancing and form the Krishna consciousness movement built on the philosophy. So all of us have fortunately taken it up. I wanted to read the first page of this book. It's an introduction. Then, at 26 Second Avenue in 1966, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, would personally lead us in kirtan as well as in japa. After morning kirtan, just before his lecture, he would order, chant one round. Then he would finger his japa beads and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the assembled devotees seated on the floor would chant aloud their individual japa. I used to both chant and finger the beads intently. One time, absorbed in this chanting and fingering, I looked up at Srila Prabhupada and was surprised to find him looking at me with great concern. It seemed that he saw me, although a most fallen wretch, struggling intently to chant, and this caused him great compassion and concern. You can see this even now. Very neophyte devotees chant with a great display of enthusiasm and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they're really, they're putting their whole self into it with their dawning utsaha. So I caught Prabhupada's attention doing this. It seemed as if he even was awed at the mercy of the holy name, that this person who had previously no connection with the holy name and didn't seem like a likely candidate was so much involved. I also remember my first chanting of japa in my apartment around the corner from the temple. Fingering the beads and passing them through my hands gave me a sensation of opulence and luxury. I felt like an ancient sadhu. I recall trying to chant clearly and intently. Well, there's a description of a sensual act. I'm carrying now my, tulsi beads. And so it is a sensual act. partly because it's hard to count on your fingers, but it's by sensual, I mean it engages a sense of touch, and that's deliberately done, given to us in that way by the acharyas to help our attention, not just the mind, but your fingers. And it's a pleasant thing, a pleasant sensation to feel them going through your fingers as you're paying attention at the same time, if you're doing it right. So I was recalling that early pleasure of the chanting with the beads. I felt like an ancient sadhu. I recall trying to chant clearly and intently. Over the years, however, my japa became less distinct. More and more my attention would wander. I began to think of other devotional duties I had to perform during the day. I neglected to carefully pronounce each word. Sometimes I would attempt to reform the quality of my 16 rounds, but eventually the bad habits of unclear pronunciation and wandering attention would creep back in. Although I would preach to other devotees, "It is an offense to be inattentive while chanting Hare Krishna," I would repeatedly commit the offense myself. How many other offenses I committed due to the offense against the holy name, Nama Parad, I cannot say. How much I slowed down my devotional growth, I do not know, but certainly it was not auspicious. But then I received anew the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna in the form of a godbrother's instructions on japa. A godbrother was listening to my chanting. This is a sensitive thing not to find fault with somebody saying, "Prabhu, your chanting isn't so good," or "You say Rama, Rama, Rama," or something like that. "I do not." I said, "You say, mind your own business." but this devotee was a little concerned and bold enough to do it. He said, "You don't seem to be chanting with attention." But I took it to heart. In the form of a godbrother's instructions on japa, I became determined. That was all it was, as his instructions on japa. It's not like I attended a seminar or something. Just a godbrother in the temple took me aside and said, your japa doesn't seem to be so attentive. I became determined to reform, to chant my japa pronunciation, each word and syllable. My japa improved immediately. I then understood that chanting was most important and could not be neglected. I felt that I was learning a crucial confidential secret, although Srila Prabhupada is constantly repeating it: chant 16 rounds and avoid the offenses in chanting. It is a practice. It takes practice. Whatever you practice, the body can learn to do it. Chant, chant, chant. So this is a picture of a sadhu, a Babaji sadhu. Now, a Babaji takes chanting very seriously in that he gives up all other activities, even preaching, and just sits down to chant. Actually, there was one person that Prabhupada made a Babaji in ISKCON because several doctors told him he had only 6 months to live. He was a young man. So it occurred to him to ask Prabhupada, could he be awarded Babaji so that he would have impetus to just sit down and chant, do nothing else. So Prabhupada looked at the medical record and said, "All right." And I remember in Chicago Temple, he was given white cloth, short white cloth. And so he went to, he was told to go to Mayapur. Unfortunately, he went there, but he had difficulty living there. I think his health, it troubled him, and maybe his mind. So he came back, and he lived in the Detroit temple. Then he got restless, and he wrote to Prabhupada, could he preach? And Prabhupada wrote a letter back, annoyed. He said, no preaching for you. He said, you have been given the order of Babaji. He said, you should sit down and do nothing else but chant all the time. At least 100 rounds you should chant. What is the meaning of Babaji? So there was like one case in which a person was told annoyedly, do not preach. Because that's what he's supposed to do. And so here we see such a person chanting. But except for that one case, Prabhupada didn't award Babaji, and he wanted us to be Gostyanandi, to be to work, to be active, to spread the holy name, to chant our prescribed rounds, but to tell other people about the chanting of the holy name. But I wanted to show a picture of a sadhu chanting his holy names. And maybe at the end of our lives, when there's nothing else we can do physically, we can go to Vrindavan or somewhere, or just sit down and chant on our rounds. Now I have a number of pictures, kind of in a lighter spirit, of wrong kinds of chanting. And you may recognize yourself here. And so the first thing we read was the quota, 16 rounds. So this is the person who's caught in the dilemma of not doing the japa quota. You might put this up in a temple somewhere. It's kind of a scary picture. This is what will happen to you. You will become afraid and like a black ghost. So now I have three pictures in which we see, starting with the right way to do it. So this is the perfect position. There's a photo of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in which we see him sitting very, very straight in the back. So I've pointed out some of the things. Straight spine, attentive ear, no distractive thoughts, even on other service. So I said in the beginning, attentive hearing doesn't mean only hearing the syllables. I went on it was about a week long brata with a few devotees where we chanted I've done it a couple of times, where we chanted 64 rounds. We were comparing notes, and we were saying, oh, the motor is running. My motor is running all right, meaning that we were chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But we meant that it was just like a motor, but the mind was going somewhere else, and we realized that this isn't enough just to have the motor running. So attentive hearing would be more than just physically, externally having the sounds coming out on time, but it would involve prayerful hearing, like you're saying, you pray to Krishna, O Krishna, O Radha, please engage me in your service. There's a whole science, getting very complicated. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book about it, Rahasya, where he compares each of the Shikshastakam verses to different words in the Hare Krishna mantra. But Prabhupada kept it simple. He said, just chant like the child crying for the mother, and chant, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. So attentive hearing means like that, keeping the mind on your prayer to Krishna. So his ear is engaged in that way, not just externally. Clear utterance, not mumbling. All the syllables have to be chanted rightly, not leaving out any words. He's got his bead bag held up high. This is a perfect position. No ants in the pants, moving around, sitting straight, half lotus, asana, and he's doing all the rounds at once. And Prabhupada used to say sometimes 2 hours, sometimes he'd say 1.5 hours, so perfect. And I don't think any of us can say that we've got that perfect. But we can try to improve our chanting, to come to this stage. And now a sharp drop to poor position. This fellow's whole position in life is poor. It says, this is Bhakta Finian, back from the pub at 2 a.m. He wakes at noon the next day in his bedsit and begins his ? Rounds. So the chanting, instead of being clearly enunciated, is har, har, blah, blah. And he's asking himself, when do we eat? No bath in 2 days. Mind all over the universe, mostly tamagun. So instead of thinking of Krishna in Vrindavan, or thinking of Prabhupada and crying out to Krishna, he's not really chanting. His beads are on the floor. He's a mess. And this is not... Nam Aparad. The only good thing we can say is that even Nam Aparad has got great qualities in it. So none of us have come down this far, I hope. That's the poor position. And here's the worst position. That's right. This is called prostrate japa. He's completely on his back. So beads broken in a fight at the pub. So the beads are scattered all over. He's got a big red mark on his head. He's so spiritually advanced, he chants in his sleep. This is also called snore japa. It's questionable whether, therefore I put japa ? But some naive person is looking and saying, I think he's in samadhi, don't disturb him. I don't know if this pinches anybody, if anyone has ever fallen asleep and claimed he was doing his japa, but that's not chanting the holy name when you're asleep and snoring with your beads in your hand. Not so bad. But some devotees, they get stuck and they don't say the real mantra. Rama, 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 Krishna, Rama, 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 Krishna, Hari, Rama, 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 Rama. And sometimes in the temple room, you can hear this going on, and that's when you really think, should I say something or not? Hey, dingbat, listen to your chanting. That's not the Maha Mantra. And while you're at it, check out your blue tilak. And then there's a little fellow behind him commenting on the brown man. He's saying, where's your beads? Don't go anywhere without your beads. All of these are based on, none of these are made up. All of these have been witnessed. I can testify to it. And Baladev has seen some of these too. This is incoherent japa. Just at the bottom, there's some comments. They said, should we throw him out? He's in the temple. What the heck? But a more experienced devotee in that temple says, never mind, he's been coming to the temple for years like this. Just leave him alone. So there's a man, he would come to the temple and he would chant, Biba, 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 biba. And people would keep their distance from him, but eventually tolerated him. And I don't know, I think Ramakrishna said that any way you chant to God, he will accept it. But we say you have to chant in a certain way. But there may be something there. If he came to be with the, he came to always be with the devotees. This is well known dive bomber japa where people fall asleep and then their heads fall, come together. So I added that two of them were there, waking up by collision. So don't get near another person if he's inclined like that. Japa? Question mark while watching football video. Oh, great play. We tied Germany. Hari Bol, football, ki jai. Enjoying a little drink with it, too. So how can these things go on together? Being excited, stimulated by the external world. And keep and having that little cloth bag around your neck with your finger in it, and uttering God's names, and saying you've done your rounds. If you've got to do one, then do it, and then do the other. But it's offensive chanting to be absorbed in material energy and try to chant Krishna's names. There are some devotees on the public bus and they're getting ragged or teased by different people. Man and his wife, the fellow in front is saying, hey, stop that buzz. The man in the back is saying, yo, chill out, Hari. But then there's a kind of sympathetic, the bus driver too, with that fellow saying his prayers, either quiet down or get off this bus. But there's a sympathetic, hippie kind of guy saying, leave them alone, driver. People got a right to pray. So this is not personally witnessed. I was just kind of fantasizing, I don't think. But I don't think it's a good practice to chant very loudly on a bus or an airplane or something like that, because you'll disturb people. And it's a situation in which it's not really appropriate to do that. I remember I had a servant when I was a guru. Wait a minute, and he was doing that very loudly in the airport lounge while we were waiting for the plane. And I told him, "Don't do that. Don't chant so loudly." And he was real argumentative. He said, "Why not? He said, Prabhupada would. I said, he would not. I said, I travel with Prabhupada. He never chanted his japa loudly like that in a situation like this. He's real disobedient, and he just went on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And of course, people were annoyed, looking at us like crazy people. So we don't want to look like crazy people, be crazy people. You can chant, but I just made a kind of exaggerated comic show out of this. Or maybe they were chanting quietly and the people were just rascals. Mom with three tots struggling to chant her rounds. Bless her. Surely Krishna forgives her if her mantras are not perfect or even 16 rounds. Oh, this is a great struggle or a period of life for a mother when she's got to take care of all these little darlings and try to chant at the same time. I'm not a mother, but I'm sure the mothers here confirmed this is an accurate picture. Car japa. Rounds don't count towards the 16 rounds.
Said who? Says who?
So he's driving very fast, and but the road signs say danger, sharp bend, slow down. And he's just, Hare Krishna, da-di-da-da. And in the rear view mirror, we see the Garda is on his trail. So it's a very dangerous practice to do car japa and to speed and to... I know it's a very controversial topic. Some people say they have no other time, but I drew it as I thought I had to. Okay. Prajalpa japa. So they're talking to each other. On the top is their conversation. Did you read the new Ritvik essay in Chakra? Yeah. Did you hear what Narayan Maharaj said about ISKCON? And then the actual yajna is supposed to be going on down there in their hands. Hare Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Chakra Hare. So we shouldn't be talking to each other and at the same time doing our own, it's a very private act that you have to hear with your ear and chant and finger your beads. So you can't be talking to somebody about some topic, especially prajapa topic or any topic at the same time. Got more? Now I get into the clicker. Executive clicker planner japa. So, is a young businessman. He's working busily at all his July sales, debts, and receipts. And, of course, his mind has to be absorbed in those things, but he has to get his rounds done. So the click, 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 click is going. But how could the click represent anything but a mechanical click in the machine? How could it represent his heartfelt outpouring of heart and utter and mouth utterance to the Holy Lord? Another. Here's a fellow who's more bashful, shy about the fact that he's a clicker man. So he's hiding his clicker in his pants pockets and chanting silently to avoid the controversy. There's a big controversy over whether someone should chant with a clicker or not. Many senior devotees say it's a great offense to even use it. So he's hiding it in his pocket. So you can just see click, 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 and the others are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, 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 Hare. But his secret is uncovered by a little kid down there. He says, "What's that noise?" He hears the clicker in his pocket. This has also been witnessed. Devotees keeping the clicker in their pocket, and they'll be talking something about something, and then every once in a while you hear click, 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 and it's just chanting in their mind. And doing other things, working. Mano will appreciate this one. Temple president attempting japa. Prabhu, could you sign this check? Hey, Prez, the police are here, and they want to talk to the guy in charge. He's sitting on the hot seat. Please give me just half a minute. I'm having a nervous breakdown. Hey, Prabhu. The treasurer just blooped with all the cash. What should we do? Oh, Krishna. So somehow he has to find a time and a place to run away from that. Because some of those duties can't be avoided. But either say, look, when I remember there was one temple president. He said, I chant from this time to this time, and don't disturb me. He said, whatever it is, he said, the world isn't going to end during this time. So you wait, and only after that time can I be approached. So all those things would wait until that time was over. Child using japa beads as a toy. 16 rounds. I don't know, 16 rounds is how many times he throws them around his head. I guess that's a question. Should children be given japa as a toy if that's all they know what to do with it? That would seem no. They could be given other toys. They shouldn't be given japa mala to throw at each other and to swing with and so forth. When they're ready to actually use it properly, then they can have it. Okay, now that's the end of my jokes on bad chanting. I've just done some miscellaneous paintings all last night to bring here, just with the japa, with the words japa or holy name on it or something. So it's just ending the show with a few paintings like that. Best chanter of the year. When I drew that, I thought it's not the outside which counts, it's the inside. Because how could a person who looks like that be a holy man or a good japa chanter? But it's the inside that counts. Hare graffiti. People getting into a fight, just the opposite of what chanting. Sometimes in devotee association, false egos come out, even in chanting. I can chant better than you. Oh yeah, I'll break your face. Calm down, lads. Chant and be happy. Imagine false ego about who can chant better, culminating in a fight. Probably happened. That I have not witnessed. Just a happy picture of people chanting. I like to chant God's names. Me too. I ran out of ideas of things people do wrong when they chant. I was asking different friends, and I said, I already got that one. I already got that one. I just started to draw some pictures of people chanting. Somebody's told me, try telephone. And I didn't do that. Is that it? These are like doodles. I've taken the practice a couple, last couple of months of doodling while I talk on the telephone. And it's really developed into something. I just do it with black. They're different than this, but this is a little bit like it. You talk. It's not an offense to the holy name, but you're doing two things. You're talking to somebody, and your right hand is just unconsciously drawing something. You have no more? Okay. So, any general questions or talk about poor chanting, how to improve chanting? That would be sort of questions appropriate for the class. Importance of chanting. Always tell devotees it's good to chant early in the morning when they're not disturbed. Much as possible when the atmosphere is quiet. And whatever it means to you exactly, chant with a prayerful attitude. That can even begin with praying to Krishna for everyday things. We say like the highest thing we want to pray for is eternal service in the spiritual world, but actually our minds are troubled with so many things from day to day, but we can pray to Krishna for that too, for relief, for insight how to get through the day, and for his protection. Just turn to your best friend. Don't think it's, well, I've got all these terrible things in my life and now I have to chant, which is a different religious holy practice. But no, your chanting should be your solace for all the difficult things you're going to have to face now in your day, and it's your time to try to be peaceful, and then you'll be able to face your day with much more resolve and conviction about material life is illusion and it's temporary. You chance, if you want something, you just chance for it. But to chant for petitioning Krishna for a peace in your life and for strength in your life is emotion. It's heart. And not just like we've seen some of these people just going click, 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 click while he's going over his monthly bills. So if you're brokenhearted, or if you're in anxiety, or whatever it is, you can put your mind into that chanting too, and Krishna will elevate your chanting. It's not a small thing, although it's a small thing, 32 words. There's great literature on it by the Goswamis, and let's see what Madhu Mangal has underlined. If you offend the Lord, you can still be delivered simply by taking shelter of the holy names. If you if you don't develop attachment for chanting, that's the 10th offense, and there's no way to atone for any of these offenses. But if you constantly chant the holy name, then you will become a pure lover of the holy name and become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Submit to the holy name and thus be free from your offenses. The cure for offensive chanting is to go on chanting, but you have to chant with desire to improve. You have to chant with faith in the order of the spiritual master. And chant whether you are feeling ecstasy or whatever. Nam Prabhu is the only one who can save you, and so you should ask forgiveness. I wish this book was back in his possession. Questions? Comments? Yeah?
Saiva Apura, mentioning that actual devotion, 64, I think. The first one is not taking the shoes off when you go into the temple. That if you do them inadvertently, then it's not Nam Apura, but if you do, then any of those that are performed consciously, then they all become offenses to the holy name.
Seva aparad, offenses in service,
yeah.
While doing service. If you do them unconsciously, forgetfully, then they're not offenses against the holy name.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, well, it's always like that. The more deliberately you do something bad, and the more serious it is. Just like that even in civil law. If you commit some crime, but there was no real deliberation on your part, you just did it out of some impulse of anger or something. Not as bad as a big plot you made. But Krishna may forgive us if we, due to bad habits, unintentionally commit that offense. And then once we're told it's an offense, we should be very careful not to do it again. Some of the offenses are so easy to make. There are so many. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And for we Westerners, we can't even, we've never heard of these things, or we didn't know about these things. Somebody can tell, oh, you did this mistake, you did this mistake. Prabhupada even criticizes those Brahmins and persons from India who come and see the Hare Krishna devotees and say, oh, you did not do this right, you did not do that right. He said, they can't do anything themselves, meaning spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, but they're quick to come and say, and try, according to Hindu caste system or something, say, oh, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. One devotee, his father died, and he wrote to me, his wife was an Indian wife. So he felt upset, of course, that his father died. He lived in Dallas. So he went to the temple and he was praying to Radha Kala Chanji. And his wife said, oh, you committed an offense. You're not allowed to go into the temple until 30 days after the death of your father. So he wrote to me and he said, no, I'm very sorry about what this commence I committed. And I said, that doesn't apply to us. Your deity is Radha Kala Chanji, and you wanted to go to see him. You were so upset. So these are like, Prabhupada calls them smarta rules and regulations for people who are more interested in the rules than the heart of the matter. Yes, Mama.
Towards the end of us, and you know, you're in a like situation, and when you're chanting, a lot of the different things come up, like, you know, some solution might happen, or some other idea might come in about how to do something. I sort of, it's very difficult not for that not to happen. But I'm just wondering, what's the best attitude to have when you even catch yourself on doing that?
Well, in that perfect position, I had the fellow said he was listening to the holy name without even thinking of other service. So I thought that was best, that he was just thinking Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna for these 2 hours, just put other thoughts aside and not think, I could build a great ashram, extension to my ashram, or we could make more money this way or something like that. I just say, now let me pay attention to the holy name. Those ideas will come. I gave a seminar once about that, and I was stressing that. I said, you know, don't. If you get good ideas, don't, you know, write them down or put them down. And Jai Dwaj Maharaj was there, and he said, well, maybe if you get one or two, you could write them down. Just let it out. But then, not that you just keep going. The whole japa period, you're writing down all these great ideas. Rabindra Sarup made a humorous comment about that. So, one of his academic friends who was just introduced to Krishna consciousness, he asked him, why don't you come to the temple? So he came to the temple, and he took part in the kirtan for the first time, and he was dancing and everything, taking part. And the Rabindra asked him afterward, he said, what did you think of it? He said, it was great. He said, I got so many ideas. So we should try to just pay attention and not make it a brainstorming session. And know that it will inspire you when you do go to ride, go to serve. That then you'll get inspirations will come then when it's time to plan and everything. I said write because there was an instruction in a writing book I was reading that. You may be out taking a walk and you get a great idea for something you see or something and you want to immediately write it down and you're afraid it'll be lost when you go back, and the teacher was advising to just live, you know, just live in life. Don't always be thinking of writing. And don't worry, when you go back to write, you'll have a different idea. It may not be the same idea you had out there, but an idea will come to you by staying in a moment and living and everything. So it's sort of like that, the intense purification of chanting. It will come to you, maybe the very idea that was starting to blossom while you were chanting. You just hold off, then it'll come when you were chanting. When you were chanting, maybe you were thinking, if only this community could work together better, if only I could purify myself. And then practical ideas could come later. Abhay, you have...
You know, I thought I could bypass an awful lot of personal growth or issues and things that I have to do with, but just by the chanting, that, you know, it has a sense that it's going to bring you straight to the spiritual world almost. And then I can understand more that the effect that chanting has is to more help us to regrow as well. You know, I'm kind of understanding a lot of the things that I'm going through, the trials and struggles and things that actually are intimately connected with my japa.
Hmm.
You know, we're seeing that maybe all these things that's been happening in the material way, that can be relevant in one sense to my spiritual life, but I'm really going to kind of see it as a whole coherent, holistic thing that,
yeah,
that actually happening to grow fully apart. And that, you know, it's not just that we're going to think from it'll be part of ourselves and just become spiritual beings.
No.
It's a very holistic thing, and it brings up so many things in our lives and so many different aspects of our life. By keeping on chanting, it's actually this is the curing process, and it's the kind of process of self-realization ultimately.
Just like certain diseases, there may be a very vital medicine that you have to take, but that's not enough. You have to do so many other things with a diet and with interpersonal relationships and learn about yourself and so many things. So the chanting is vital, but as you say, it's holistic, lived as part of a whole life of Hare Krishna. Otherwise, you can get very strange person can develop who only chants and thinks that everything else can be bypassed. Remember, there was a fellow named Richard. He never got initiated. And he lived at Radhakund while Prabhupada was alive. And he used to look like a ghost. He was so white. And he would live poor, like all the other Radhakund people. The children used to make fun of him, but he would chant. Sometimes they would come after him. And he lived there with the Babajis and everything. He lived there quite a while, 5-10 years maybe. And then he gave it up, and he went back to America, and he became an ordinary sort of person again, and had to deal with a lot of issues that he had thought he had become a Radhakund resident, and he didn't give up his chanting, but now he saw he had to become a man of more whole coherency. Immature. There was another man from Africa, and he, while Prabhupada was there during a festival, he would chant 100 rounds a day, and he was living in a tree. And Prabhupada was like, on the walk, Prabhupada was like sarcastic about him and said, "Is he still here?" And he would ask about him. And then after a few days, he said, "No, Prabhupada, he went home again." So it was just some farce of thinking he'd jump to the topmost platform right away without dealing with their life. But chanting can be, must be, blended in with all the parts of our personality that need to be dealt with. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.